Ryan, you have been looking over the latest economic numbers. We recently had a GDP report. We had a jobs report. One of the conclusions that you had in some of your commentary at CEI.org is that, yes, the economy is improving, but we should give credit to everyday Americans rather than to politicians. What did you mean by that?
What I mean is that look at a lot of our problems, whether it's housing prices or inflation, and a lot of the fault for that belongs on Washington. And I think it's kind of remarkable that for 2 years running now, we've had faster than average economic growth, not because of Washington, not because of politicians, but because of entrepreneurs and regular people finding ways to solve problems, finding ways to adapt to life under a pandemic and to recover from the aftermath. People are founding small businesses. The bigger ones are growing. The economy as a whole has been growing faster than average, even though more than half of the country thinks we're in a recession right now. I think that's, while there's always room for improvement, that's also a remarkable achievement.
You look at the job numbers, though. I was surprised, as were many people last week here, Ryan, when job growth was only at about 12,000 in the month of October. Everybody had expected it to be better than that. We've seen a lot of downward revisions over the last couple of months as well. What do you make of the current state of the job market? Is there a bit of a softness there, or is this really more of a blip?
I think it was a blip. A lot of the, for context, normal jobs growth is between 1 and 200,000 jobs created per month. That roughly tracks population growth. 12,000 is barely a tenth of the lower end of that number. So that's a pretty big blip. The reason for that is predominantly Hurricanes Helene and Milton. That really put a damper on things in a very important part of the country. You know, Florida obviously is a very large state, and a lot of manufacturing and other industries are located in the Carolinas, which were also very badly affected. But the fact that unemployment is at 4.1% when 5% unemployment is considered good, that's pretty good. I will gladly take that, and I would expect November's numbers to look a little bit better. So we'll see, probably be go back to that 1 to 200,000 range like we've been seeing for several years now.
We are about halfway through the fourth quarter of the year, and that means that folks are going to start looking ahead to 2025. So things looking not too bad right now, as you pointed out, Ryan. How do you see the economy shaping up as we steam into, believe it or not already, 2025?
Yeah, it's coming faster than you think. I'd say overall the picture is decent. It's not spectacular, but it is good. Spending has remained strong, in part because of that strong labor market. People are making money. Real wages have been outpacing inflation for more than 2 years now. And that's long enough for everyone's once-a-year raise to catch up to those price increases that they're seeing every day at the gas station and at the grocery store. As a result, spending has been strong for several months. A lot of the indicators we're seeing for holiday spending are looking pretty good. I would love to see more investment because that tends to result in more long-term growth. But I would say we should have a good holiday season, and economic fundamentals going into 2025 are looking pretty good. We don't have a housing bubble the way we did in 2007 and 2008. There's no savings and loan crisis like there was in the 80s. Inflation, not quite back to target levels, but barring another multi-trillion dollar spending binge like we had during the pandemic, inflation's not going to go back to 9%. It'll stay mostly under control. So all the fundamentals are good, and I would expect 2025 to be, barring any sudden changes, a pretty decent year.
There are, however, a couple of potential storm clouds on the horizon. We had a threatened dock worker strike. I guess it maybe lasted about a day or so. And that was put off until, well, after the election, which we are now after the election. Have you seen any movement there? What can we expect when it comes to the dock workers and the potential strike there and its impact on the economy?
Yes, that is a potential pain point because the U.S. imports about $3 trillion of goods every year. And it's not just those East Coast ports that just went on strike. We could also have some troubles coming up with the West Coast ports that import a lot of goods from China and from the rest of Asia. Those unions are resisting automation, which is keeping our ports below global standards by any measure, the amount of cargo that you process or the costs of doing so. U.S. ports perform poorly by global standards. And the fact that a lot of the dock workers' unions have a lot of power over improvements happening or not, that could affect a lot of other sectors of the economy, from automobiles to housing to pretty much anything involving imports. that could be a big deal, but I also think that eventually cooler heads will prevail in that battle. So hopefully nothing too drastic will happen, but yes, that is something to keep an eye on.
Another area that we keep a close eye on is energy. As we all know, energy impacts the cost of everything at every point in the process. And Ryan, we still have a lot of instability in the Mideast. It remains to be seen where Israel and Iran go with the conflict that they are experiencing. Do you see any jitters at this point in the oil and energy markets?
I don't see a lot of it, in part because of the fracking revolution we've seen over the last couple of decades. The U.S. is a net energy exporter for the first time since I can remember, which means that what happens in the Middle East and what happens in Russia and Ukraine, while I care very much about the humanitarian consequences and the impacts for human freedom, I don't care that much about the energy price consequences. We had a brief price spike when Putin invaded Ukraine in 2022. That quickly went away as people adapted. As long as energy output here in the U.S. stays high, and despite apparent perceptions of the contrary, it actually set new records in the last couple of years, I'd say we'll be okay. Might see a price spike here and there, but the big picture will be good.
Ryan, the Federal Reserve has undertaken some cuts in the target interest rate. Do tea leaves show that they're going to continue doing that into the new year, or are you more seeing maybe we're a little bit at a point where we're going to take a pause and see what happens?
They're going to keep cutting for at least their next two meetings, which happen every 6 weeks. So there'll be one this month and there'll be one in December. That'll take us down about a full percentage point from the interest rates peaking at 5.5%. And I would not be surprised if in its next meetings early in the new year, the Fed will continue to make small cuts and make a few other policy changes at the margins. But inflation is mostly where they want it to be. And the main obstacle to getting it all the way back down to target levels actually isn't on the Fed. I've been critical of them for the role in causing the inflation in the first place. They've also done a very good job since then getting it back under control. The main problem is that if the economy does start to slow down, markets think that the Fed and Congress will overreact with too much stimulus, which causes inflation, and we'll be back in the vicious cycle that we're in, you know, back in the 60s and 70s. Barring that, I think we'll be okay.
Ryan Young is a senior economist. He, of course, is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Ryan, tell us a little bit about CEI. Also, as I referenced, you write quite a bit on their website. Where can folks find that?
Our website is CEI.org, and we are a think tank based in Washington that covers all issues regulatory.
Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Ryan, as always, thank you for being with us.